Shalom to all. Today's daf is Chol and Daf Tes Zayin. We are starting about the second line with the words Amar Mar. And today's daf is sponsored by Leilu Nishmas Marsh Mem Sarah Basim Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So we continue discussing what we were talking about at the end of the previous daf, which is Shechita b'Mechubar. Shechting was something attached to the ground. We had differentiated between something that was always attached to the ground versus something that was detached and then subsequently attached to the ground. And of course, with this, we brought a brisa. And now we just talk about this brisa for a little bit before we get back to the main topic. Amar Mar was stated in the brisa, Hashechet b'Mechni Shechita Zekshera. If a person shechts with a wheel, so Shechita is kosher, meaning he attached a knife to a wheel. And when the wheel spun, the knife passed over the neck of an animal and shechted it. So that shechita is kosher. Ask the Gemara about Tanya, we have a brisa that says shechita is psula, shechita is pasul. The answer is like kasha, no problem. Ha b'sarnu de pachra, ha b'sarnu de maya. One is talking about a potter's wheel. The other one is talking about a water wheel. What's a potter's wheel? So back in the day, when they made pottery, they would take the soft clay, and as a person was forming it, it had to be spun in order to be able to make the clay properly. So the machine that they had was basically a large wheel on the bottom by the foot, so it was able to be turned by the foot, and from that it had a pole coming out, and higher than that, there was another small flat board or circle, which is what the pottery was formed on. That's called the sarna de pachra. With that type of wheel, the shechita is kosher because that's kayach adam or kayach gavra. The person himself is spinning it, so it's like he's doing the shechita. Whereas sarna de maya, which is a water wheel, that's like a mill or something like that, basically a wheel turned by water. That's not kayach gavra. It's not a person doing it. It's water doing it. Shechita is pasul. Now, if you buy a similar term, we could say hava haba sarna de maya. Both are referring to a water wheel. Well, like, actually, still no problem. Haba kayach rishon, haba kayach sheni. One's talking about the first kayach. The other one's talking about the second kayach. The brass that says a shechting with a wheel is kosher is referring to the first bit of water that comes to spin the wheel. Basically, there was some sort of board or something blocking the water, and the person had to remove that in order to cause the water to flow towards the wheel. So when the first water hits the wheel and spins it, that's considered the kayach of the person himself, because he was the one that caused the water to go there. Whereas all subsequent turnings of the wheel, that's called kayach sheni. It's not directly from the person. The water just continues flowing, spinning the wheel, so shechita would not be kosher in that situation. And v'chiyadar amar papa is just like what papa said. A person who tied somebody else up, and he caused a whole deluge of water to pour on him, umis, and the fellow died. Chayiv, the fellow who did the tying, is chayiv. Why is that? Because giri didei hu dahani bei, it's his arrow, that's a literal translation, giri didei, his arrows, that caused the person to die. That's only with the first kayach. If it's the second kayach, it's just a grama, it's a causative action, it's not something that he did directly. In other words, if Reuven tied up Shimon and placed him right next to a dam, and then he made a hole in the dam, and the first ton of water that came out drowned the fellow, so he's chayiv, because it was his kayach that caused the water to come. However, if Reuven placed Shimon a little bit away from the dam, and then he made a hole, and the water came through, and it took some time until the water got to the person and drowned him, so then that's called kayach sheni, it's just a grama, and Reuven would not be chayiv misa for that. Now we go back talking about shechita b'mechubar. Yasser Rav acharid Reb Chiya, Rav was sitting behind Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya kamei de Rebbe, Reb Chiya was sitting in front of Rebbe, the Yasser Rebbe kamar, Rebbe was sitting and saying, minayin shechita shei betalosh, how do we know that a person needs to shech with something detached from the ground? Shnemar, because the pasuk says vayikachas amachelas l'shchait, and Avram took the knife to shech. And now a knife is something that's detached from the ground, so we see that you have to shech with something detached. Now Amrli Rav Reb Chiya, Rav asked Reb Chiya, my ka'amar, what's he saying? What's the raya from the pasuk? So Amrli Reb Chiya told Rav vav dechseva ofsa ka'amar. What he's saying is like the letter vav, which is being written on a tree or on a piece of bark of a tree. And same way, if you try to write a straight letter vav on a piece of a tree, it's definitely not going to come out straight. There's going to be a whole bunch of breaks, and it's going to be all jagged. That's the same thing with what Rebbe was saying. His Rai is full of holes and challenges and difficulties. So Rav continued asking Reb Chiya, "V'akra ka'amar?" He quoted a pasuk, and so Reb Chiya's response is that "kra zirusei d'Avram kamashulam." The pasuk is just telling us how full of zirizos Avram was. He wanted to go and shecht the Yitzchak because Avram said go shecht him, and he wanted to make sure that he had a knife. And who says that he can find a knife on the mountain which Hashem was going to show him? In other words, who says he's going to find a sharpened stone which is attached to the ground? That's why Avram took a knife with him, but not that you have to shecht with something that's talosh. And actually, we know Reb Chiya from the previous daf, he holds that you could shecht with something that's attached to the ground. And we keep discussing this. Amar Rav Rava says, Pshitali, it's obvious to me that talosh al basav chibroi, if someone was detached to the ground and then he attached it to the ground, lenyan avayis kachavim have a talosh. In regards to avayis zara, it's considered detached from the ground. What's the relevance? Amar Rava stated, Hamishtachav alabayis shaloi, if a person bows down to his own house, treating it as avayis zara, asrai, he asrs his house. Navisak da dechav mechubar, if you want to say the person's house is considered mechubar lekarka, so then why would he asr it as avayis zara by bowing down to it? Eloi heyim ala harim, the pasuk tells us they're gods on the mountains. And what do we learn from here? V'loi haharim eloheihem. Not that their mountain is the god. In other words, we learn from this pasuk that the only thing that can become usur if it's served as a avodah zara is something that's detached to the ground. But if somebody bows down to a mountain and they treat the mountain itself as a avodah zara, that doesn't have the status of a avodah zara because that's the mountain itself. And therefore, from the fact that we see in this braisa that if a person bows down to his own house, it's considered a avodah zara. Well, his house, even though it's mechubar lekarka right now, it previously was talosh, it was detached because it's made of either wood or sheetrock or bricks or whatever it was, and all those pieces that made his house were talush. So again, even though it's mechuber right now, it still has the din of talush in regards to avodah zara, and therefore it has the status of avodah zara. Rabbi continues, l'inyan hechsher zraim, in regards to being machsher produce, tanoihi, it's machleks tanoim. Now we've already brought this up previously in the Gemara. Produce can only be mekabel toma if it gets wet with one of seven liquids. We're just going to use water in our discussion, and that water needs to be lirotzain. The person has to want it, and the Gemara calls this ki yutan. Namely, if it was lirotzain, then we say it's bechi yutan, and the produce is now machshel kabel toma. Whereas if it wasn't lirotzain, then it's not bechi yutan. Now the following is a nekuda which we have not mentioned yet. As long as the water was lirotzain in the beginning, even if by the time it touched the produce it wasn't lirotzain, it's still machshel kabel toma. Now that's limited to when the water was wanted for something talush, detached from the ground. However, if it was for something that was mechuber, attached to the ground, then it's not b'chiyutan, even though he wanted the water. And so now, armed with this knowledge, we can see how this is a machlekes tanaim. Dinan, we have a Mishnah. Hakaifa karal ha-kaisel b'shvil shetudach. If a person overturned a dish onto a wall so that it should be washed, meaning he wanted the plate itself to be washed by the rainwater that was falling, hariz b'chiyutan, that water is now b'chiyutan, because since he wanted the water for something that was talush, it's now b'chiyutan, and if it falls on produce, even though he didn't want it to fall on the produce, it doesn't make a difference. Now that produce is mechshel kabel toma. However, says the Braisa, b'shvil shelo yilka kaisel, if the reason why he turned the dish onto the wall is that the wall shouldn't get ruined by the water, in a b'chiyutan, so it's not b'chiyutan, because he clearly does not want the water, he's just trying to protect the wall. So now we analyze. Hagu v'kasha, this Braisa itself is a stira. Amrit, you said in the beginning, b'shvil shetudach, that if he had turned the plate over in order that it should get washed, hariz b'chiyutan, that's b'chiyutan. That's mashma, ha'b'shvil sheyudach ha'kaisel, in b'chiyutan. And if the reason why he turned the plate onto the wall is that the wall itself should get washed, so then it's not b'chiyutan. In other words, he wants a lot of rainwater to hit the wall to wash it, so he turned over this dish in order to direct the water onto it so that it could wash the wall. Mashmas from the ratio of this Mishnah is that it's not b'chiyutan. Now right away that tells us that the wall is considered mechuber l'karka, and that's why the water is not b'chiyutan. And right now we're understanding that this wall is something that is talush, and after is mechuber, is made up of, let's say, bricks, so the bricks were talush, and then when he built the wall, so now that makes it mechuber l'karka. So already we see from the ratio of this Mishnah that something that was talush and now is mechuber is considered 100% mechuber l'karka. However, if a hadar tani, then the Mishnah teaches b'shvil shlo yilka kaisel, if the reason why I turned the dish onto the wall is that the wall should not get ruined with the water, ain't a b'chiyutan, saying that water is not b'chiyutan. Now what's that mashma? Ha b'shvil shiyudach kaisel, if the reason why I turned the dish on the wall is that the wall should get washed with the water, hareizeh b'chiyutan, then it is b'chiyutan. Mashma, this wall is considered talush, it's considered detached, even though it's currently mechuber, since it started out talush, it's still considered talush, and therefore the water is b'chiyutan. Now it's obviously steer between the ratio and the safe of the Mishnah. So Amar Blazer, Blazer says, you're right, tavra, and literally this means broken, or that yes, there's a contradiction, and therefore we have to say, Misha Shanazu, La Shanazu, whoever taught the ratio of the Mishnah is not the same tan of the safe of the Mishnah. So we see from here, it's a machlokas tanaim, that if something was detached and now is attached to the ground, is that considered mechuber or talush? However, Papa Amar Papa says, not a raya, kul cha tanahu, we could say the entire Mishnah is really one tana. So what's with the steer between the ratio and the safe? Ha, b'kaisel ma'ara, ha, b'kaisel binyan. In the ratio, we made a diuk that the wall is considered attached to the ground. That's actually referring to a wall of a cave. A wall of a cave is always attached to the ground. When you hollow out some of the ground to create a cave, or if Hashem made the cave, the walls of that cave are always mechuber. They never were detached from the ground, and that's why any water that went on it, even if it was meant to wash the wall, is still not b'chiyutan. Whereas ha'b'kaisel binyan, the mashmaya of the second part of the braisa, is referring to a wall that was built by humans, and that's something which is not considered mechuber to the ground. V'chikamer, and this is what the Mishnah is saying, ha'kaifakar al-kaisel b'shvil shetudach, if someone turns a dish onto a wall so that the dish itself should get washed by water, hariz b'chiyutan, that's obviously b'chiyutan, because the water was wanted to wash the dish. The mashmaya says, ha'b'shvil sheyudach ha'kaisel, that if the reason why I turn the dish onto the wall is so that the wall should get washed, ein ze b'chiyutan, that's not b'chiyutan. However, medvar murim, when is that stated? B'kaisel ma'ara, only with the wall of a cave, which was always mechuber. Aval b'kaisel binyan, if this is the wall of a regular building that was originally talish and only now is mechuber, so it's only b'shvil shelo yilka kaisel hu de'ein b'chiyutan, if it was turned over onto the wall so that it was protecting the wall from the water so it doesn't get ruined, then the water is not b'chiyutan, because he doesn't want the water at all. However, ha'b'shvil sheyudach ha'kaisel, if the reason why I turn the dish onto the wall is that the wall should get washed, so that means he wants the water, hariz b'chiyutan, then it is b'chiyutan. So Papa's explanation of the Mishnah, there's actually no machlekes tanaim regarding talush u'b'saif mechuber in regards to hechsher zraim, the din of b'chiyutan. We continue discussing this now in regards to another din by Rav. Rav asks as follows, tesayin obeys on top, talush u'b'saif chibroi le'inyin shchitamai. Let's say it was detached and then later on attached to the ground. In regards to shchita, what's the din? Is one allowed to shecht with this or not? So the Gemara attempts to raya tashma. We had a brisa previously. Let's say there was a sharp rock coming out of a wall, or there was a reed coming up on its own from from the ground, v'shachar bo nishchechad with it, shchitas epsula, shchitas pasul. And so we see from here that something attached to the ground is not allowed to be used for a shchita. So you say, not a raya. Hacham eskin, what are we talking about over here? Bekaisel me'ara, with the wall of a cave that has a very sharp protrusion coming out of it. And that's not talushul basaif chibroi. That was always mechubar. It's a kaisel me'ara. And tekinami, it's actually midoik like that, diktani, because what does Brisa teach? Domi dekana oyle me'elav, that the case of shachting with the rock coming out of the wall is just like the case of a reed coming out of the ground on its own. And just like the reed is obviously referring to one that was always there and wasn't replanted in the ground, so too with the rock coming out of the wall. Shema mino, that's a good raya. So we still don't have an answer to Rava's question. We continue with another attempted raya. Tashma, the very same brisa says, not sakin b'kaisel, if you put a knife into the wall, v'shachah ban shechter with it, shchitas akshel, shchitas kosher. So it seems to be that talush ulu b'saif chibroi is considered a valid shchita. The Gemara says, not a raya. Shani sakin d'lo mevatole, a knife is different because he's not mevatol it to the wall. Even if he places it in the wall and maybe connects it to the wall, it's still not considered part of the wall. He's not mevatol it to the wall. He's definitely taken it out again. It's a regular knife. And maybe that's why the shchita is kosher. But perhaps something that he would be mevatol to the wall, like a sharp stone, maybe that's considered mechubar and it's not allowed to be shechted with. So we have another attempted raya, tashma. The Brisa says, beferosh, b'mechubar lekarka shchitas ekshera. If it's connected to the ground, the shchita is kosher. That seems to be referring to the case of talosh ulbasaif chibroi. Says the Gemara, not a raya. Dilma perusha kama fireshla. Maybe the Brisa is explaining itself with these two statements. The first it says, mechubar lekarka shchitas ekshera, and then it explains, my mechubar lekarka, what does that mean, mechubar lekarka? Sakin, a knife, which is connected to the wall. That's the next statement in the Brisa, dulay mevatole, as we just explained before. A person's not going to mevatole a knife to a wall, and that's the shchita's kosher. But it's possible that a rock that was subsequently attached to the wall, maybe that shchita would not be kosher, so we have no raya. We continue discussing, Aramar, we stated, not sakin mekaisel v'shachar ba shchita's ekshera. If a person stuck a knife into a wall and shechted with it, the shchita's kosher. Now, Amar of Anan Amar Shmuel, loishanu, this is only taught, elosh sakin lamal v'tzavar behem lamata, only if the knife is above and the neck of the animal is below. In other words, the knife blade is facing down and the neck of the animal is being brought up towards the knife blade and moved back and forth, and that's only when the shchita's kosher. Avol sakin lamata v'tzavar behem lamala, if the knife is below, meaning the blade is facing upwards, and the neck of the animal is on top, coming down, so then the shchita wouldn't be kosher. Why is that? Chashin Hashem Yidrois, we have to be chayshesh for drasa, which is pressing down. Since the neck of the animal is going onto the knife, we're afraid that the weight of the animal is going to end up pressing down, and that's why it's going to be cut, not because of the back and forth motion. As far, how can we say this? Vakatani, we had learned previously, that it doesn't make a difference where the knife and the neck of the animal is, either which way the shchita is kosher. So Rav Zid, he answers, no, let's dadin katani. That's being taught to the sides, meaning that's being taught referring to two separate cases. Even though these two sentences are together, each one of them is only referring to one case, namely, sakin lamata v'tzavar behem lamala, if the knife is below and the neck of the animal is above, bitalosh, the only way that's kosher is if the knife is detached, where sakin lamala v'tzavar behem lamata, if the knife is above and the neck of the animal is coming from below, then b'mechubar, that's okay if it's mechubar. Whereas our Papa Amar, he answers differently, that actually when it says that it doesn't make a difference where the knife or the neck is, it could be up, down, or down, up, it's still kosher shchita, that's be'aifa, with a bird, the kalil that it's very light. In other words, even if the knife blade is facing upwards and the bird is coming from the top, that still would be a kosher shchita because the bird is so light, wouldn't have to be chayshish for drasa. And we can discuss another point. Amar of Chizda, Amar of Yitzchak, Ba'amrilan, some say masnisa tana, the following was taught in a brisa, hey dvar nemru b'kremia shalkana, there are five things that were said with a reed. Now the main problem that we have with a standard reed is that it tends to splinter as it's cutting. So there are five things that they said regarding cutting with a reed. Number one, ain't shechting about, no shechting with it, because maybe a splinter is going to break off and pierce the animal, and that's going to possle it. Also, if ain't malinba, no giving a bris milah with it, that's because a splinter might break off and pierce the child, rendering him unable to reproduce. Also, if ain't mechatchim abasar, no cutting regular meat with it, a splinter might embed itself in the meat, and then a person is going to eat the meat, and then that splinter is going to go inside his stomach and maybe poke him there, which would obviously be dangerous, cause internal injuries. Also, if ain't mechatzim bashinayim, no picking teeth with it, no using it as a toothpick, that's because a splinter might break off and stab him in the gums. And lastly, no wiping with it. Right now we're understanding this means that a person can't wipe his backside with it, and we're going to discuss that in the Gemara further. Ask the Gemara, hold on one second. Ain shechtin ba, it can't be shechted with. But Tani, we have a brass that says beferish, b'chal shechtin, one could shecht with anything, bein b'tzar, bein b'schuches, bein b'kremia shalkane. So we see that one could shecht with a reed. So Rav Papa, he answers that no, the reed one is allowed to shecht with is a very unique one, b'simayne da agma. It's referring to this type of reed that grows in the swamp, and when it's dried out, then it's very sharp, and it does not splinter, and so that's a type of reed that we're allowed to shecht with. But a standard reed which splinters is problematic. Further clarify, we had said ve'im mechatchim abasar, no cutting meat with it. Now Rav Papa mechatchim ba kirvei dogim, Rav Papa would cut fish intestines with it. And why is that okay? Dezigi, because they're transparent or they're translucent, you're able to see through them. So if a splinter did in fact embed itself inside the fish, he would be able to see it. it and take it out. And Rabbi Rav Huna, Mechatech Ba'oifa, Rabbi Rav Huna would cut poultry, bird meat with it. And why is that okay? Derukech, because it's very soft, and that's not going to cause it to splinter in the first place. On to the last din, Vein Mekachem Ba, one is not allowed to wipe with it. The Gemara asks, Tepek Lei, why don't we say that the reason why one can't use a reed is Mishum De'Amar Mar? It was stated, HaMekanech Medavar Shah Ursha Letes Ba, anyone who wipes himself with something that is flammable, Sheen of Nishrais, his teeth will fall out. This is referring to teeth like things in the rectum. In other words, it will cause some sort of injury over there, and that's why it can't be used. We don't need to have a separate memra telling us that one can't wipe himself with it. We already know this from somewhere else. So Amar Papa, he answers that the wiping that we're referring to over here is totally different. Kinuach pimaka kamrinon. Then when we said that one can't wipe with a reed, that means don't clean off a maka. If a person has a wound on his flesh, don't clean it off with the reed, because the splinters might cause the wound to get worse instead of better. And that's what we're referring to, not talking about using it as toilet paper. And we continue the Mishnah said, Hakol shechten ul'olam shechten. So first we explain, Hakol shechten, what does this mean? Hakol b'shechita. Everything must be shechted vafilu oif, even birds. Now the reason why Hakol shechten can't mean that everyone's allowed to shecht is because that's what the first mission of Masechta told us, Hakol shechten. So it must be that Hakol shechten over here means that everything needs to be shechted, and the chiddush over here is that even though the Torah doesn't say anything about birds being shechted, we still have to shecht birds. Now we go to the next part, it says l'olam shechten, that we always shecht, and in order to understand this, the Gemara asks, man tana, who's the tana of this statement? Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Rabbi Shmuel, he's Rabbi Shmuel. The tana you have a braisa. The pasuk tells us, ki yarchev Hashem lekechaz gvulcha, when Hashem will expand your borders, kasher dibar lach, as he spoke to you, v'marta oichla basar v'goymer, and you say, I would eat meat. Now what's this referring to? So Rabbi Shmuel Aymer, he explains, loyba kasev el hatilhem basar taiva. The pasuk is only coming to mater basar taiva for them. What's basar taiva? That's just meat that a person wants to eat stam. He wants to make a siman masechta, put meat in his chalent. That's just regular meat that he wants to eat. Nothing to do with karbonos. Now, why is it that we need a special heter? Shebetchila neser lahem basar taiva. Originally, when they were in the midbar, they were not allowed to eat meat, just plain stam. If they wanted to have meat, they first had to bring an animal as a karbon, then they could take that meat and eat it. It's only mishenich sula aretz. Once they got into Eretz Yisrael, that's understanding the words ki yarch Hashem lekechas gvulcha, when Hashem expands your borders, meaning when you get into Eretz Yisrael. So them hotel lahem basar taiva. It became mutter to them just to have plain old meat, shecht an animal, even though it's not a karbon, backyard barbecue, chalim meat, seam steaks, whatever it is. Once they were sent into Galus, you might think that it goes back to the original Esser that they're not allowed to eat meat unless it's being brought as a karbon because they're not in their Gvulos anymore. They're not in Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Braisa teaches that we always shecht. In other words, even though we're not in Eretz Yisrael anymore, we still can shecht an animal and eat it regular. We don't have to bring it as a karbon. However, Maskel Rav Yosef asks on this, if that's really what the Braisa is telling us, then instead of just saying we always shecht, it should say we always shecht and eat, because the main nekuda is that we're still allowed to eat meat even though we're not in Eretz Yisrael. So ikar chasar min ha-sefer, the main word is missing. It would have to have the word eichlin over here. But Aiden, furthermore, another question of Yosef asks, meikar my time itzer, originally, why were they not allowed to have bas or taiva in the midbar? That's because everyone was very close to the Mishkan. In the midbar, all the Yidden were encamped around the Mishkan, so it wasn't such a big deal that if you wanted to eat meat, you just bring the animal to the Mishkan. At worst, it's a couple mil walk away. It's not so far, and so it's not a tircha, and therefore they weren't just allowed to have bas or taiva. Any meat they wanted had to be brought as a karbon. And it was safe my time at Ishtaru. Later on, when they got into Eretz Yisrael, why was it permitted to have bas or taiva? To have a merachim Mishkan, because they were far away from the Mishkan. People lived in all areas of Eretz Yisrael, and could be a journey of maybe a couple days, perhaps even a week, and maybe even 2 weeks away from the Mishkan. So every time you want to make a siman on a masechta, you're going to have to go all the way to Mishkan and then all the way back. That doesn't make sense. And so that's why bas or taiva was permitted for them. Yudzayin Amar Alef on top, Rav Yosef continues, v'kol shekein hashta, for sure now, that they're very far away, they're in Galus, so of course meat would still be permitted. We don't have to have a special braisa telling us the meat's still mutter nowadays. Elam Rav Yosef, rather Rav Yosef says differently, Rabbi Kiva he, the braisa is Rabbi Kiva. The time you have a braisa, the pasuk tells us, ki yirchak mimcha maka mashirv chasham lekecha osum shmai sham, when the place that Hashem your God chose for you to place his name there is far away for you, v'zavachtim karchum tzaincha, and you shall shachtim your baka and your tzain. Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva says, loy ba'kasav el lesser lehem basar nechira, the pasuk is coming to aser for them basar nechira. Basar nechira literally means meat that was poked or stabbed. And what's the chiddush over here? Shabbat chila, hutul lahem basar nechira. That originally, when they were in the midbar, it was actually mutter to eat meat that was killed by other ways other than shechita. Nechira, as we just said, means poking or stabbing. In other words, if the animal was killed by nechira, not by shechita, it was mutter to eat. Whereas mishnech yusul aretz, once they got into Eretz Yisrael, nesol lahem basar nechira, it became usher to eat basar nechira, and they had to shecht an animal. And v'achshav shegalu, now that they're in galus, yachol yachshu l'tern rishon, you might think that they go back to the original heter that you don't have to shecht an animal. You could just poke it or stab it or do whatever to kill it, and that would be okay. L'kachshaninu, that's what the Braisa teaches, l'oilam shechten, that we always have to shecht. The key over here is not regarding eating, it's It's about the shechita, that even though we're not in Eretz Yisrael anymore, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, you still have to make sure to shecht an animal before eating it. We're stopping for the day, but pick up tomorrow. Continue to discuss the machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.